Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Heart, an outreach ministry of New Vision for Life Church. Our ministry website is www.newvisionforlife.com, where we align our heart with the heart of God. Please join our hosts, Apostle Etta Banks and Minister Tabika Garnes, as we get to the heart of the matter.
Good morning, good morning, good morning. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. God bless you, beloved. God bless you. Truly want to thank God for this day. This is Apostle Etta Banks, your host on Heart to Heart, where we get to the heart of the matter, and the pastor of New Vision for Life Church. And I just want to give God the glory and the honor for all that he has done. Normally, my co-host is Minister Tabika Garnes, who is not able to be with us this morning. I want to thank her for carrying the show last week. And so I guess she's telling me, well, now you carry the show yourself. And so that's what I will have to do. Praise be unto God. But I do thank the Lord for her. She is well. She is okay. She had a very early appointment this morning. And so that's what she had to go take care of. But good morning to you all. Excuse me. Good morning. I want to also give a shout out to Lady Joyce and Lester Richardson. Wanted to give them a shout out today because today their grandson is graduating. And I know that is an honor and a half. That is truly a great honor. So I want to say congratulations to the young man. I want to pray that he goes on and continues to represent the family well, to represent God well, and to be a representation of our educated young black men. So I'm wishing the very best for this young man. So congratulations to him and to Joyce. God bless you, woman of God, the Lord for you and all that you have been in your grandson's life. Amen. Well, now, good morning to Joyce in New York, Joyce and Lester Richardson here in Maryland. Excuse me. To Minister Tabika in her absence, to Deacon Thomas Farr, to Isaiah in Chicago and Isaiah in Pennsylvania, to Rob, hallelujah, in PA, to Prophetess Kim here in Maryland, Prophetess Dawn here in Maryland, to Minister DeShazzo, Sabrina DeShazzo, praise be unto God, good morning to you, and to all of the members of New Vision for Life. You know I love you, can't do without you, and to God be all the glory for what he has done. Praise be unto God, and to each and every one of you, we thank God for Deacon Banks. Definitely love having him join us on the show lately, and again, to all of you that come on board and share this hour with us, good morning is not enough. But truly know that we appreciate you. And anytime you speak, you know, your input is very, very valuable to us. It is very valuable to us. And I am hoping that one of my callers joins us this morning. Last week we had a very serious conversation after the topic that was aired online. We had a serious conversation about it, and there was much thought that went into what she had to say. And so if she comes back on the line this week, we'll let her share her thoughts about that, and we can discuss it because we're still involved in this 7-minute marriage solution, still involved in that. So much impacted in the 7-minute marriage solution. seven things you need to stop doing right now, seven things that you can start doing right now, and 7 minutes of your day that's most important. So there were a lot of sevens as we were dealing with this. And so I just want to thank God again for the teaching and for Steve Otterburn as he wrote this. Excuse me. Y'all, please forgive me. I'm still not 100%. And I do apologize for that. I do apologize for that. But prayerfully, we will make it through this hour with a smile on our faces and good teaching as well. So please hold me up as we go through the hour. And I know a lot of my guests that won't be on today due to illness. Several of them, you know, contacted me and told me they wouldn't be here due to illness. So we just pray that God will strengthen each and every one of them. So let us go ahead and pray. Father God, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I do thank you. I honor you and I bless you. I magnify your holy name because you are the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. You are the great I am, the Alpha and the Omega, and Lord God, there's none like you. I thank you that no weapon formed against us shall prosper, that in you we have our hope and our very being, Lord God. It is in you. Lord, I thank you as you promised never to leave us nor forsake us. So for your forgiveness, your loving grace, God, for this, we do say, thank you, Lord God. Father, I ask that as we go throughout this day, Lord God, that you, as you're watching over us, that, Father, that the blood of Jesus that has been shed, that we are covered in the blood. I thank you, Father, for your grace and your mercy, which are new to us every single morning. Truly, there's nothing whatsoever that we deserved, we couldn't earn, which you have done for us. We could not earn it, but you are fit, Lord God, to do the things that you have done for us. Lord God, I ask you to help our unbelief, Lord God, when there are things that we have prayed for and we had not received the answer for. And for some people, that meant that if they prayed for something that's still in effect and is years later and they get discouraged, truly get discouraged. But, Father, I thank you that you are a man of your word. Excuse me. That you are a man of your word. And I pray, Lord God, that people will experience what your word says. Truly, Lord God, they will not turn their backs on you. Truly, Father God, that they will experience the miracles, the signs and wonders. They will experience it, each one of them. I thank you for an encounter with you, Lord God, an encounter with you, and not just an encounter that carries us throughout the day, but, Lord, an encounter that changes our disposition, changes the way we talk, changes the way we walk. Lord, I thank you for the change that comes with the encounter. Lord God, we do give you the glory and the honor. We truly do. And may your will be done here on earth as it is in heaven. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. All right, beloved, let me say this this morning. I am going to seriously do my best to make it through this hour. I'm going to do my best. I cannot guarantee that I can. Unfortunately, I have taken medication last night that is still weighing on me this morning. It was the same thing last week, and it is weighing on me this morning, and I'm having some difficulty in actually speaking and staying alert. We're going to do the very best we can. So now, last week, and I do believe my caller that I wanted to talk to just joined us. Week we were talking about the finances. I hope you remember that. We were talking about the finances and who handles, you know, paying the bills. Do we have one checking account or three checking accounts? One ours, one his, one hers. Who should handle the money? Should it be handled between both of us, or should one person deal with the money? And there was a statement that was made, and that statement was that if you are not operating from a joint checking account, then you're not in unity. You're not in unity. And one of my callers had something to say about that. Prophetess Kim definitely opened up and shared the fact that in her marriage, she had to operate out of the one account because her ex spent the money that was in the joint account. He would spend it, and there was one time she went and looked into the joint account because I don't know whether they were getting ready to put money down for a house or something. I forgot what the story was. But there was 10 grand missing. That's right. I'm not talking about $1,000. I'm not talking about $1,000, which makes what, $1,000? No, there were ten grand missing. That's a lot of money, you know, that you saved up in order to make a major purchase, and then you go to get it, and it's not there. So in her situation, having a joint account did not work at all for them. And then I have another caller, Lady Denise, who shared some information with me afterwards. And we want to start with discussing that this morning. So good morning, Denise, my love. How are you?
Good morning, honey. I am fine. It is a beautiful sunny day here today, and everything's great. Everything's
awesome.
Great. My husband and I, and I don't know if Minister Sabrina is, Sabrina is on, or no, it's Tabika who does the show.
Tabika, right? Yes. She is not on right now. She has an appointment, so she wasn't able to join us this morning. But the show is recorded, so she'll be able to hear it.
Okay. I just wanted to tell her hello. She did a good job last week.
Yes, she did.
Yeah. But Bill and I, we have a agreement, and I think the word that caught me was the unity issue, that if the husband and wife are not on both accounts, then you're not in unity. And we had an agreement. It was years ago we made this agreement. It was his job to make the money and take care of the family.
Mm-hmm.
And I was home with the children. And every now and then I would work, like during the summer when the children weren't in school and all. It was my job to work to pay for things we wanted but did not need.
Mm-hmm.
And so I started an account, and we had a joint. We did have a joint account. Well, one day, our operating account, we were getting ready for vacation, and I paid all the bills, and we left for vacation, but I forgot to put the money in the account. And so when we came back, we had checks bouncing everywhere. And he was really upset because he never had bounced checks, never. And he didn't want the name messed up, you know, with the financial place. So I went, I talked to the bank, and they gave us a pass on it. But he was so upset, he said, okay, I'll take over that. Well, he took it over. he did. And then he had a bounce check. And when he got the bounce check, he came back to me. He said, here, you handle that. I will handle the making of the money. And so after that, he put the finances in my hands. Now, we were in agreement with that. That account afterwards ended up closing. The bank closed, and we had to get a new account. When we got a new account, only my name was on the account. I handled the finances. I paid the bills. My name was on the account. If there was something that he wanted, he would tell me, this is what I want, and blase. And he got it. We would then, I had opened up several accounts after that. We had a ministry account, so we could pay visiting ministries when they came in. Only my name was on that. I started a savings account. Only my name was on that. We had a building fund account. Only my name was on it because I was the one that had the access. I was the one that had the time to go and open up accounts. It was convenient for me to do things and keep things moving. And my thing was to never misuse that trust that he had put in me to handle the finances. When his check is deposited, it actually goes into a joint account. We did open up another account so that he could have his checks deposited in it, and his checks would go in, and I take the money out of that account, and then I put it in the operating account or, you know, in savings. I do that. He said, Denise, I don't care if you only save a dollar a week. Save something. So he had to trust me, and I had to be trustworthy. And then as I started working more and making money, I was getting direct deposit, and it was being deposited in account with my name. But we do not have joint accounts on everything. We don't. What we have is unity in our oneness about how to handle the finances. Having your names on a joint account does not create unity. Because what can happen when you have one who spends easily and one who does not, it can actually cause you to fight, to be at a disagreement. You have to come together and talk about your finances. And when we want to do major, major things, you better believe his name is not on that account because I am saving up. And if he may see a tool or something he wants, so I have a it's a bill account. It's just for him. I put money in it. He could spend that money. If that money, if I see, oh, that's going down, I will restock his account, but I will not put him on an account where we're saving for a major purchase. We want to remodel the house. His name isn't on that account. That's how we do it, to make sure that money is safe, is secure for what we have need of. And that's because, you know, when he's going to buy something, he's going to buy it. If it was all in one pot with both our names on it, there's a lot of things we would not have. We just, because he works. He says, I work. I should have a right to spend money. You do have a right to spend your money. But you cannot spend what we need to designate for something else. And sometimes when you're out there buying, because you're buying, in, say, a $200 item here, $50, you don't realize how much you're spending. And that's what happens. And many times people who don't handle the finances, they don't see that. They don't realize when it's coming in, when closing dates are and all, and things. So you have to come to an agreement about how you're going to do things, not so much whose name is on the account. And Bill and I, and we talked about that after the show, and he said, oh, definitely. He said, definitely. No, unity is between the two of you. Not the account.
No, not the account. All right. Thank you. Hold your thought, and totally thank you for your comments. We have another caller. Praise God. Good morning, and God bless you. Your last four digits are 8125.
Right. I hear you. My name is Joe. I called in, I think it was last week, maybe a couple of weeks ago. I have a question. Okay.
Yes,
how do you handle the most reluctant, recalcitrant couples? In other words, let's say there is a husband who would like to remain married, but his wife is very adamant about getting separated, getting a divorce. Now, I'd like to know, have you ever asked her or that type of particular wife, if he got rid of all the things that annoyed you and he reinstated everything that got you interested in him and made you fall in love with him back when you were dating, would you still want to marry him or still stay married? Have you ever asked those kind of questions?
Sure. Absolutely.
Okay.
And your name is Joe, correct?
Right. Mm-hmm.
Okay, so just hold on one moment for me, Joe. One moment.
Okay.
All right. Prior to this question right now, we had Lady Denise, you know, sharing from the results of last week about the finances and how, and I loved what she said, unity is between the couple, not the account. Not the account. The account is not what makes the two of you be unified. It is your agreement on how you're going to handle your finances and so forth. That's where the unity comes from. And remember, as always, anything that we're sharing, when we're sharing information from someone else's writings or whatever the case may be, we'll share their opinion. You'll hear our opinion. This is Heart to Heart, where we get to the heart of the matter. So we talk about what's on our hearts. And then most thing that we want is, what does God have to say about it? What does he say about any and all of these situations? So I definitely wanted Denise to be able to share that, because totally everything that she said there made complete sense, you know, on how they handle their finances. So in any of the discussions we have dealing with relationships, remember, the ground rules for general things that could go straight across the board, always remember, you have to do what's best for you and your mate, and that may not fit into the general rule. So Denise, darling, thank you so very much, sweetheart, for sharing that information, and of course, stay with us, okay?
Okay, I will. Thank you.
Uh-huh. You're welcome, love. You're welcome. Okay. All righty. Now let's look at Joe. Joe's question was, or is, if you have a couple, and the couple is in a state now where he wants to remain in the marriage, the woman is insisting on separation and or divorce, but he wants to remain in the marriage, and he is willing to give up everything that he feels brings the marriage, that has brought the marriage to the place where the wife wants the divorce. He's willing to give up all of those things. And his question was, have I ever spoken to that and spoke to the woman about that? And my answer
is
yes.
Well, there's more to it than that.
Okay.
There's more to it than that.
Okay.
Had it, right. You had it half right. You had it half right, because the other
only
half you didn't mention.
Right, Joe.
Only
come
half
on,
right.
The other half.
Okay, the other half is this. He's willing to do what she wants in terms of, he would give up everything that annoys her, even if he would like to keep it. Let's say, because you were just talking about finances, he would like to spend some money on his car, but he realizes that perhaps he's overspending. So he would still like to have it, but she wants him to, or she would, you would ask her if he gave up that particular annoying habit, and here's the other half of the equation, and if he were to reinstate the qualities that you saw in him when you were dating and made you fall in love with him, would you want to still stay married with him, or would you still insist upon the divorce? So that's the other half.
Okay. All righty. That's the other half. And then, and your question to me was, have I ever addressed that matter?
Right. Both of them. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Okay. So if he's willing to give up everything that causes duress in the marriage and reinstate the things, the very things that made her fall in love with him, would she then consider staying in the marriage? Did I get it right this time?
Yep, yep. Would she still want to? Because, as you know, people, if they don't want to, they're not going to.
Mm-hmm,
so
mm-hmm.
If he changed, got rid of the negatives, reinstated the positives, does she think that she might want to stay with him as his wife? Right. You got it right.
Okay. All righty. All right. Well, just like I said with the finances, okay, every couple is going to have their own individual way of handling that. Now, and it's interesting because today what I was going to share in our 7-minute marriage solution is practicing lifetime vows, okay? Practicing your vows. But let's look at this situation that you've given us. He's willing to give up everything that disturbs her, and then he wants to do the things that first attracted her to him and made him fall in love.
Made her fall in love with him, right?
It made her fall in love with him. Okay. Now, what's difficult about this situation is, number one, we don't know, okay, how long the couple has been married, how many years, and these are things she and he would have to think about. How many years has she been disenchanted with the marriage? Is she already involved with someone else so that no matter what the man does, you know, is she involved with someone else and she doesn't want to go back? You know, he can do everything that you said that he would do, and she truly isn't interested in keeping the marriage. The thing
Absolutely.
That if that was someone I would counseling, I would ask them and I would ask her to do certain things on a time basis. You know, let's give this 2 months. So let's give it 3 months. So for 3 months, you do thus and so, this, 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 this. Allow him to do this, 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 this. And let's see what can happen within that 90-day period. The other thing we have to look at is you have a man here that's given up everything that he feels is bothering his marriage. And all of these things help to make him happy as well. So now, easy for us in our courting stage to put on the front, to do all of the things that we feel is needed to do to win a person's heart. But if that is not who you are to the core, you cannot live up to that the rest of your life because it's not who you really are. You do what you've got to do to win a person, and it's very difficult after the honeymoon is over. And when I say honeymoon, folks, we're not talking about the 1 week or the 1 month. We're talking about the honeymoon period that can last for a year or two. After the in-love feeling dissipates, and now you're dealing with the reality of life, when the reality of who he is sets in, and that person is someone that she's disenchanted with, he can make all the promises he wants, but to try to live up to the person he presented to her in the very beginning can be a very, very difficult thing, a very difficult thing. Joe, I'm going to ask you to hold on for a moment here because we got somebody that wants to chime in on this thing.
Okay.
Yes.
Sure.
Thank you, sir. All righty. Yes, Denise, what do you have to say there?
Okay. Can you hear me? I don't have my earbud on. So.
Yes, we can hear you.
Okay. One of the things that I think the husband needs to consider is that the woman's need when they met and got married may not be the same need that she has now. And that's why she's disenchanted with him. So if he goes back to do what he did, it may not work because that's not what her need is. They have both grown over the years. They have different needs now. And so it's not always a cut and dry. I've been married 47 years. So changes, his needs change and her needs change. And that's why you can't think, oh, well, I can just go back and do what I did before. men think a little bit more simplistic than women do. Women are very emotional, and there may be an emotional need that she has that he is not meeting, and that's why the disconnect. And it doesn't have to be that there's some other person involved. There is a need, a specific need that he's not meeting that she may say no.
Okay. Joe, what are your thoughts?
To me, that's a good point. Because if the wife were to say, look, he's not a phony. He did put his best foot forward when he met me, but he's very consistent with his particular personality and character. So if he were to go back and, let's say, enhance his personality and character a little bit as he did when he was romancing me, that would be good. But as the new caller was just saying, if the wife has new needs, that has to be part of the problem too. You have to ask, or I would ask. Yeah, but I would say, is there anything else that he would have to do? Do you have anything since you've been together? Let's say they've been together for 10 years, and you two have changed your personalities, your mindsets a bit. Is there anything else that he would have to do that would make you want to stay married to him? Because right now, it seems to me, you want out right now. If you could get on a jet and leave, you would. But is there anything else? So that's a good point that the woman caller was bringing up. Now, let's say she says, I do have needs. I think of him as a good person, but I just don't love him anymore. He's not cheating on me. I don't have anybody else. But it's just the same old grind day in and day out. I'm bored with him. I'm bored with the married life. I feel like my personality or my journey in life is being kind of stunted. So if a woman says that, how would you address that?
Okay, let me just hit on one thing here with the book first, and let's go into what I would do. Because part of the thing of seeing your lifetime vows, part of the four causes for broken wedding vows is routine. And that's exactly what you just described, routine. And let me read you what it says. Like in the old Johnny Cash, June Carter song, Jackson, Eddie and Christy were quite feverish and joined together in holy matrimony in an emotional state that exceeded the degree of heat from the most intense and potent pepper sauce. But now the honeymoon is long over. The heat has cooled. The urgency of compelling sexual need has been worked out of their system. Over time, a repeated pattern has developed. Both go to work every day and come home. come home tired. They eat out or cook something easy. Then he loads the dishwasher while she rounds up the dirty clothes and stuffs them in the washing machine. One second here. And the washing machine. She helps with the kids, helps the kids with the homework while he does the work he brought home from the office. After the 10 o'clock news, they shower, peck each other on the cheek, flop into the bed. The next day, a rerun of the same as it is the day after and the day after. Both Eddie and Christy feel that their life is slipping away. Their appeal will soon fade, and they will wonder if there is more to life than they are experiencing. It is a sure setup for a midlife crisis. So when a good-looking marketing director at the trade convention asked Christy to dine with him several times and finally suggests further intimacies, she begins to feel that she has what she missed out on and what she really wanted in marriage. This may be her last chance at happiness. Suddenly, her vows to Eddie seem small, and surely she has the right to happiness. After all, that is what life is about, isn't it? And that's the scenario that was put to us in our book. So as you were saying here, she has needs here. You know, the routine, they're stuck in this routine. So now how do we make things any different? Again, with them counseling, with counseling, addressing what it is that is in the routine of things. What can we change? How can we shift some things? How can you do some of the things I do? I do some of the things you do. Why don't we institute a date night for us? You know, there are different things, different ways that you can add into the routine of things and not make it routine. The other thing that is very, very vital in this, which is the topic, is practicing your vows. That no matter what it is that you have going on in your marriage, you know, one of the things that we've skipped over is this couple a born-again, saved, sanctified couple, God-fearing, and you can be all of that and still want a divorce. So understand that I would need to know what is it we're working with. Are you both lovers of the Lord? And then we're able to go back to the Word of God, able to pull out the scriptures, able through counseling, able to compromise, make agreements one with another, and show, you know, what things that could possibly be done, and not honoring the devil, but honoring God in the marriage, honoring your vows one to another. I remember seeing in one show where a man was sharing with another man who was cheating on his wife. He was sharing with him and said, look, you got 80% of what you want in your marriage. You got it. You got 80% of it. 20% you don't have. Along comes this beautiful woman, and she's offering you that 20% that's missing. You know, she's very beautiful. She smells good. She entertains you. You know, she makes you feel like a king, and she does all of these things, and that's the 20% that's missing from your marriage. So you leave your marriage to hook up to this woman that's giving you what's missing in the marriage. So now you have left the 80% and attach yourself to the 20%. So now you're married to 20% of what you wanted, and you've lost out on 80%. Is it worth giving up 80% to capture that 20%? Is it worth it? And of course the answer is no. How could you be happier with 20% of something when you could have had 80% and work on trying to get that other 20%? So So these are all kinds of things, sir, that we would have to address. The connection between the two of them, are they saved? Are they willing to do counseling and admit to what's wrong in the marriage? Looking back of where the issue started, the root thing, and some of those things could be stuff that has been brought in from their parents and baggage that they've brought in from their parents, baggage they've brought in from previous relationships. So it's not a cut and dry thing. Well, you do this and do that. It's a thing of these are all the different places that we would have to reach to see if there's a way we can get them to understand these things. And again, the thing is sticking to your vows. In the Word of God, a divorce is one way that God gives permission for divorce and abandonment by a non-believer married to a believer, and the non-believer decides that he wants to leave, he or she wants to leave, God will allow that divorce. Anything else, he's saying, work it through. And even with those two, that can be worked through. But if you can't work it through or choose not to work it through, those two, God gives permission for. Everything else, he wants us to do our best to work it through. Joyce, God bless you, woman of God. Good morning to you.
Good morning. I just wanted to say that the topic that we're on right now is like a big onion, and it has so many layers on it.
Yes.
So many different nuances that it's nothing that actually you could give any kind of cut and dry. I just wanted to add one more scenario. Gary Chapman, the Five Love Language, talk about a couple that came to them, and the woman says, what do you do when you know that your marriage is dead? And after prayer and supplication, Gary Chapman came up with a thing that says, took her to a scripture in the Bible about loving the unlovable. And then he took them on a path of the five love languages. Does your wife require words of affirmation? Does she require quality time, receiving of gifts, acts of service, or physical touch? Let's start right there and try to find out the ingredient. It's like a cake. You've got a big, beautiful cake, but you left out the most important ingredient. If she needed quality time and you're trying to give her gifts, you know, that type of thing. And he took them on a journey of working for 6 months, trying to see what was missing. And sometimes, yes, the marriage can be renewed, restored, the whole nine yards. The same thing, in the same scenario, the guy had another person that he was interested in, but he loved his wife, okay? So he was willing to do, you know, break down the barriers and do all of this, that, and the other. But there was months and months and months that's gone by, and her thing was quality time, okay? And so for years, they've had all the money in the world, and they've had everything they could want, except he was so busy working and doing, and they had a boat, and they had an RV, and they had this, and they had that. And he thought he was loving her, giving her love, and, you know, in the way that he understood love. And she's saying, you're not there. You're never here. You never talk to me. You never spend time seeing what I'm interested in, what I feel, what I need. And all you talk about is I need to work some more hours because I'm doing this for our future and our future and our future. And there's a little part of her that's saying, but what about me? I'm here in your present time. Okay?
Right.
So we need to work on that. So what Joe is saying, you know, it's a wide spectrum of stuff, you know, and both people have to be willing. But biblically, he did take her to the part of how to love the unlovable and ask her would she be committed because of her faith, her faithfulness in God. Would you be willing to take the 6 months Mm-hmm. 6 months, and we're going to do this one step at a time. One step at a time. I want you to give your husband a compliment. I want you to give him a word of affirmation, okay, and see how that works. I want, in this particular scenario, the man, okay, give her compliments. Give her quality time. Give her gifts. Uh-huh. Try these different things once per month, and at the end of it, they were able to restore their marriage.
Absolutely.
But sometimes it doesn't happen that way at all. And in the second scenario that Gary Chapman did, the person had already gone out and started an affair.
Mm-hmm.
And when they started an affair, they thought that affair was their beginning and the end. This is his soulmate. He was ready to give up the whole marriage and the whole nine yards. But then as marriage goes, that little period of time where you're all in your feelings and everybody's in their emotions and everybody's smelling good and looking good and the whole nine yards, but at the end of it, at the end of that little feely, feely, touchy, touchy emotional part, when that ended, that lady was finished. And now he's going back home to his wife, is saying, you know, all defeated, deflated. And so now he's willing to really work on his marriage. So sometimes the marriage is gone on months and months and months, and the love tanks are empty. I hope I made some sense in sharing that. But, and that's it.
Amen, amen, amen. God bless you, woman of God. God bless you. Well, you definitely made sense, and all of you that have spoken here, you have made sense. And like you said, that relationship that he shared with us, I mean, it's like an onion. There's layer after layer after layer, and there is not any one solution, you know, for everybody. There isn't one solution. And it's digging deeper and knowing more and more about the situation that you're dealing with. And Joe has hung up right before you came on, woman of God, prayerfully that he was able to hear, you know, while he was doing whatever it was he had to do, he was able to hear it. But thanks to God, there's so much, you know, that when you're in that situation, in any situation, when you have to look at what your vows are and then where you get counseling and what it is you are willing to do in order to save your marriage. In trying to save a marriage, if one spouse is just truly, I don't want this, I'm finished, I'm through, if you cannot get them to agree to give it some time and intentionally work on your marriage. You see, and this has got to be an intentional thing, you knowing that this is what I'm going to do. Step by step, we'll do this. Step by step, we'll do that. Step by step, we'll do the other. If you do not have that type of a commitment, then the idea of the marriage coming back together and being restored, it decreases. It decreases. You've got to have two people that are willing to work. Now, and the willingness doesn't mean you want to do it, but you are committed enough to try it out. You are committed enough to try it out. And again, when I say that, you know, them being a Christian or not a Christian is very important, because I am very good at telling people, when you're in situations like this, you do what you do as unto the Lord. Do it. You may not like your mate right now, but what you're going to do, do it as unto the Lord. You say you love the Lord, then you do this as unto the Lord. You know, Father, I don't want to do this. I don't want to even be in here, but I do want to please you. So therefore, I'm going to do this. And I'm asking you to honor the time that I'm putting in this, to honor that time that I'm putting in this. In our lesson today, they had the scenario of a woman that went out and had an affair, and her husband chose not to put her away. He remembered his vows. He said that he was going to be with her, forever and good, bad, you know, sickness and in health, et cetera, et cetera. He said he was going to be with her, and so he meant that. And so he did not put her away and get a divorce afterwards. But then the plot thickens as a test revealed that she was pregnant by another man. And so the husband said, okay. Now, of course, here's a greater chance for him to put her away. And he said, no, I made a vow to love her when we got married, and he was determined that he was going to do what he said he would do. So when the baby was born, he adopted the baby, and he loved her as his own. And he made a vow that he would be her father no matter what. And so it showed this man's integrity. It showed his character and so forth. And needless to say, the marriage ended up working well because of the fact that he practiced his vows. And he was determined, you know, that no matter what she did, he was going to hold on to the vow that he made to her before God. Before God. And that's something that when we look at things, you know, the Bible is very clear that there are exceptions to the rule of no divorce, which is what I shared with you, and that's being abandoned by your unbelieving spouse or adultery being committed. You have permission, you know, in the adultery, abuse, and things of that nature. You have permission for the divorce. And other than that, we are to do our best, even in some of those things, you know, to do your best to work the matter out and with counseling. And I almost said good counseling. We always want godly counsel. Hmm. You want godly counsel to work these matters out. And I wish I could find, I should have marked it, the one part in the book where the man was talking about the certain things we do, you know, that is a way of practicing your vows. Practicing the vows, and it is vitally important that we practice our vows, you know, daily being reminded that I made a vow, and it is my duty to live up to the vows that I made, no matter what the partner has done, no matter what, you know, has happened. Your part is to practice your vows. And if each one of you did that, decrease the chance of having to get a divorce, because we are practicing. Every time we say no to a flirtation, that is practicing our vows. Every time we say no, you know, to things that would cause us to, if we look at pornography and we say no to that, that is practicing your vows, all kinds of things, you know, that we can do in the marriage that would cause us to online affairs, Facebook, and meeting up with exes and, you know, high school lovers and so forth. When you're saying no to those things, that's practicing your vows. So these are ways that we practice vows, things that people say it was so innocent, something that appears to be innocent. Beloved, you must watch out, because the enemy is sneaky, and he's not going to come at you bombarding you, you know, with it being very obvious that this person is here to rip you away from your mate and destroy your marriage. No, it's the sly little things. The things that look so innocent, the things that make you go, but honey, you know, they're only a friend of a honey. We're only doing this, and that thing is a minor thing. That thing is that seed that is planted there for discord, dishonesty, all kinds of things in that little seed. And so, therefore, we must avoid all of those things in order for us to continue to practice our vows so that we may maintain a marriage that's right in the eyes of God. Amen. Amen. Do we have anyone else that would like to add anything else on to that? Okay. All righty. Well, conversation has been, thank you both, and thank you, Joe, who is no longer on the line with us. But I'm very grateful for the input, you know, from Denise and from Joyce. Very, very grateful for the input for them. Grateful for Joe stirring the pot and asking questions to give us, you know, conversation. That helped a lot. That helped a lot. And I pray that you realize the vows that you have made one to the other are more important in the eyes of God. They are more important in the eyes of God than it is for you to give up a marriage that could be resolved, that there is a solution for. You give it up for a moment of what you want to call happiness. You want to call happiness. The happiness that you expect to find in breaking out of a dull marriage and marrying the partner of your dreams is a myth. It is a myth. And let me see here. Well, let me get Denise back for a moment. And I'll pull Joyce back as well. Denise, are you still there, sweetheart?
Yes, I am.
Okay, how many years have you been married?
47.
47 years, okay. Joyce, how many years have you and Lester been married?
31.
31, okay. Now, we've got long-term marriages here. And in these long-term marriages, I'm asking you both for a little bit of transparency. Has there ever in your marriage time, have you ever been discouraged and said, you know, I'm not sure about this? Have you ever done that in your marriage?
Yes.
Okay, you have, Denise.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, thank you.
Yes.
And Joyce, you have. All righty. So now we've got two women here married to the same man, 47 years, 31 years, I believe, whatever the case may be, and both of them have said that there has been a time when we said, I don't know if I did the right thing. I've been discouraged in this marriage. Both of them have. And yet, through prayer, counseling, doing things intentionally, keeping vows, renewing vows, restored vows, all of those things, and has been able to bring them to a place where they have maintained their marriage. And somewhere along the line, between the four of them, they made up their mind working things out was better than giving up and trying it someplace else. And so I pray that encourages you all. We have come to the end of our time right now. But I pray that as we are looking at this, and I love this with these families here, you know, being married this long, working through whatever it is you have to work through, I just thank God for it. I thank God for it. And I can say with all sincerity in my heart, that I definitely wish that I was able to, 29 years ago, I wish we had been able to work through the issues that we had, my then husband, that we had 29 years ago. I wish we had worked through those things so that we still would have been married to one another today. I wish we had worked through them. but I know that God still has a testimony coming out of our relationship. I know that God will receive the glory in these relationships, and I just want to say to you two women that I am grateful for what God has done in your lives and continue to be the living example before all of us on what God can do if we give him the chance. So thank you so very much. Amen.
Wow.
Amen. All right, beloved, that is the end of our show today. God bless you. I love you all. Let's come back together again next Saturday morning at 9 a.m. Meet me here on Blog Talk Radio on Heart to Heart, where we get to the heart of the matter. God bless you.
Thank you for listening to Heart with Bishop Etta Banks. Heart to Heart is an outreach ministry of New Vision for Life, Kingdom Builders. Please visit our ministry website at www.newvisionforlife.com. As always, beloved, I pray that God will bless you and bless you mightily. And as he does, you will turn around and bless someone else. And then that person will turn around and bless someone. Then that person will turn around and bless God Almighty for the blessings that he bestowed upon them. And then God, in his awesome and infinite wisdom, will turn around and bless you one more time because you knew what to do with the blessings he bestowed upon you. I thank God for the completion of the circle of blessings. I beseech you, therefore, in the name of Jesus, that you go forth today and be a blessing to someone. And when you do, do so on purpose. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you.